Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report, and today we have with us Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Schaub. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us today. Oh boy, I was driving around and I've seen burning going on and people are getting their gardens spruced up and all kinds of things, but we're going to continue a conversation that kind of plays into that.
Yeah.
We've got establishing native grasses.
Yeah.
What do we got?
You know, a few years ago when we had the fall armyworms come in and really devastated some brome, since that time, I've had a lot of people inquire about planting native grasses in their steads. Native grasses are wonderful, but if you're looking at production, we're not going to get the production from a warm season grasses as we do our cool season grasses. Most of that due to just the plain fact that the cool season grasses respond to fertilizer. Our warm season grasses really don't. The thing that I hear, though, is people saying the native grasses don't take as much management. While, yes, we, again, don't fertilize those native grasses, the management of them, I would say, is actually more so. At least one out of every 3 years we need to go burn, if not more frequently than that. I mean, I think K-State's historical data says 6 out of every 10 years you need to burn. Talking to the range management people at Kansas State now, they're saying like 80% of the time or 8 out of every 10 years, just because we have so much CO2, the trees are almost out competing the grasses in that regard. So we're going to have to burn more frequently to maintain the grasslands. So while we don't have to fertilize, we do have to burn. And burning since European settlement, I mean, think back, I've read stories, read letters about you had to climb onto a saddled horse and stand up to see over these grasses. I mean, magnificent. That'd be a shocking view now. But to see where they were going, they had to stand up on top of them. The intensity of that fire would be just ridiculous. So in those days, I totally understand not liking fire, because the only way to get it to stop was hoping that the next river was big enough and getting on the other side of it. Today, we have a lot of equipment that can help put fires out, but we have $500,000 homes and, you know, buildings or lives that we can't put a value to. So there continues to be a fear of fire. And I think if you're going to plant native grasses, you're going to have to get comfortable with fire and know how to handle burning these areas. With that being said, if we're going to establish native grasses, the establishment part is really the key. It's the most important phase to ensure the system longevity. And native grasses are extremely slow to get started. We're talking probably 3 to 5 years, depends on the weather conditions that we're going to have. So I think you got to plan way in the future if you're going to start planting native grasses, because of that time window where we're not going to have very productive ground. You know, maybe year three we can start haying it a little bit, but it's going to be a few years before we're really able to turn cattle out on it. So before we go to seeding, think through all that, but also think, what kind of soil types do we have? Is there any fertility in that soil, any nutrients there? What have the past cropping systems been like? Has it been in cool season grass? Has it been in a crop ground? If it's been in crop ground, do we have any herbicide carryover that might affect some of those native grass seedlings? So there's a bunch of things we need to kind of think through and understand before we just go out and start throwing these native grass seeds out. The next thing is going to be just the seed bed, making sure that we have a weed-free seed bed. And that's, I hesitated there, because weed-free is almost impossible. Our young native grass seedlings, while they are very resilient, they do not compete with weeds very well. So we're going to have to maintain those weeds just a little bit. Seeding rates are really going to vary depending on what kind of grasses you want to plant. Do we want to have a true mixture of our native grass mixes? You're going to want to plant maybe different pounds of pure live seed. Call, we can help you come up with some of those recommendations. But going into that planting, we got to talk about seeding depth. This isn't something we want to plant real deep in the ground. I mean, a half inch is to an inch is the absolute most. If we get any deeper, those native grass seedlings just don't have the energy. They're not going to bust through the soil and really take off. So about a half inch is really going to be ideal. And then it's going to be timing. You know, when do we plant them? K-State's data is based on research, of course, and it says between March 1st and April 30th for our area. When we dig deeper into that, so yes, it gives us calendar dates. It then says the optimum planting date is 2 weeks before the average last frost date and 6 weeks before we get hot, dry summer weather. I don't know when it's going to turn hot and dry. I don't know the exact last day of a freeze. I could give you the average last frost date and we could work from there. So I would probably work from the average last frost date and planting 2 weeks before it, rather than on the back end thinking about when is it going to get hot and dry. Because in Kansas, we're going to get hot and dry. It's just a matter of when.
Break out the weather dartboard and get it figured out.
That's right. So I always think about this. The summer is going to be the worst on our grasses. It's going to be worse than even the cooler weather that we would experience, due to the fact that if this young grass seed doesn't have a root system underneath it and it then runs out of water, it dies. So if we can get it up, even if it's a little cooler there in the beginning, it comes up, it gets a root system started, and then takes off, and then it turns hot and dry. At least it has a root system underneath there that can help it maintain and live and kind of get to that next rain. Of course, before planting anything, I always recommend a soil test. Just going out and taking a quick soil test is going to be very beneficial. What if our pH is really low? I know in western Kansas, they don't even worry about the pH really out there. They just say, we're going to plant it. It's a drier climate. While K-State may not recommend liming current native grass stands or established stands, I think there's some benefit there. Every other grass grows best between 6 and 7 pH. I don't understand why, if we're at 5.5, why we don't want to lime those native grasses to get them back up to that, you know, that 6.5 or whatever. I'm still struggling with that from the university. But if we have a low pH, I think if we're talking about, a long time period for these grasses are even productive for us, 3 to 5 years, why would we not want to lime that and get it corrected before planting these seeds and going through that waiting process?
Kind of like putting vinyl windows on an historic house or something. We need to keep it as close to the original as possible. Is that maybe the thinking?
I mean, I think the idea for like the established grasses are they have adapted and they are used to those soil pHs and are fine. These new grass seedlings, though, they haven't had a chance to adapt to a pH that it would be lower. So again, I would just recommend staying in that 6 to 7 range, probably liming. You're already going to probably work that ground. If you're going to try to keep it weed free, you're probably going to work it before planting. So just put your lime out there, work it into the ground, get it incorporated, and not have to come back and adjust that. That's my thing. The rest of the soil test information may be worthless. I've seen native grass like phosphorus levels that like not available. Like there's nothing there in this soil sample. So maybe I would actually recommend you not to apply P and K, because Rod and I have had a plot for the last 5 years. We have not raised the part per million in those native grass plots, one part per million. And we've applied some pretty ridiculous amounts of P and K trying to get rid of broom sedge blue stem. And we're not having a ton of success at one site. One site we're doing fairly well with fertility. Maybe soil types would be the big change there. But anyways, I wouldn't recommend it because, again, that P&K, a lot of weeds will utilize that phosphorus as well. And again, we're trying to keep it fairly weed-free, so I think I'd stay away from it. But with that, if you guys have questions, whether it's regarding establishing native grasses or anything else agriculture-related, please give me a call. The office number is 785-448-6826.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ryan. Appreciate that. And I think my husband would probably appreciate the idea of, yeah, let's make the whole lawn native grass. Then I won't have to mow anymore.
Yes.
Well, we'll be talking to you again soon, and look forward to what you're going to bring us next time.
Absolutely.
Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Family and Consumer Sciences Agent, specializing in nutrition, food safety, and health, Chelsea Richmond.